buying land, Holly.
Yeah, so this is something that you and I are going through right now.
Yes.
So we recently got approved for a land loan.
Well, let's go way, way back.
Way back.
Yeah. We looked at purchasing. We wanted to purchase land early a year ago.
Right about a year ago.
So we didn't know what we didn't know, and we started looking at land on realtor websites. Found some that we liked, and then we didn't have the bucket of cash that's needed to purchase full price. So then we needed to look for a loan. Now you can go through your bank, and certain banks or credit unions, is that right?
Yeah.
There's only certain ones that will allow a loan to be given to you if you are trying to buy what is called raw land. That is just nothing's on the land or minimal. There's no, maybe a cabin on it, if that, but basically raw land. At that point, most of those would require a 20% down payment. There are specific loan offices that are here based where the program is originating in Wisconsin. I'm sure there's other places in other states where this is all they focus on,
mm-hmm.
is getting loans approved for people with a 10% down payment. They're land loans. That's all they do. It's like whenever people sold Kirby vacuums, there are offices that all they did was Kirby loans. That's all they did. And then there's car loan companies. So that's what we did. We searched for and we found a company that would provide 10% down instead of 20%, which was better. And you can take it from there. We attempted to get a loan at that point a year ago.
Yeah, so we didn't get approved. We had to...
They didn't like things that was on our credit report, and they said that here are some things that you need to fix, and then once you get these things fixed, then come on back, and we will make another run at this.
So we worked really hard, and we got those things fixed.
Yep.
And then a couple weeks ago, we reapplied, and we got approved.
Now, with these loans, at least... Your mileage may vary, but for us, we have 60 days from the time the loan was approved and to use it. If we don't use it, we lose it. Now, there is a clause in that in which that can be extended if we're actively looking for land. It's not like we're sitting here and doing nothing, waiting for the magical land to come. But we did talk with the office, and they said that if once we get closer, if we still haven't made a move, we can extend that out a little bit farther so we don't lose that loan.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like, an extension.
An extension on. Mm-hmm. Okay. So whatever your, before you even get, I mean, that's what you need to know up to that point. If you're looking at land, you want to know what you could afford, and then you want to go to the loan office and go and say, here's what I want to try to get approved for. $60,000, $100,000, $200,000, whatever that number is. And then they will let you know if they can approve you with 10% down or 20% down or whatever that requirement is. So we are at that stage where we have the approval and we have a certain time frame in order to fulfill that approval. Now we know what we're looking for, and that's a key here. You just don't want to go, hey, I think we should buy land. Let's see if we can get a loan for $120,000. And you don't really have a clue what you're really looking for.
Yeah, so I think... maybe you might have an idea in mind of what you want, but I think first, before you apply for the loan, is to think about, okay, I want maybe approximately this much of acreage, obviously what I'm going to do with the land. For us, it was a matter of how far we wanted to drive,
mm-hmm.
because of where we're located, anything within, I don't know, an hour or two is very expensive.
Right.
And then as you go a little bit further out, then it becomes less expensive.
Yeah, you're looking at $100,000+ cheaper by going an hour and a half to 3 hours. Well, two and a half to 3.5 hours farther north. It's $100,000 to $150,000 cheaper for the same amount of land that's close to our residence.
Right now,
so you might want to go on the realtor site and kind of look and see what's available to go. Hey, I kind of would like that. I kind of would like that, and then put your wish list together. And then kind of see what the value that you could afford.
And also, maybe you have a town or area that you like, or maybe you have an area that you are willing to drive 5 to 6 hours away because you want to be in that area,
mm-hmm.
And you know that you're not necessarily going to utilize it as much as maybe we are or somebody else. But yeah, so those are things you want to think about, what you can afford. And then also, obviously, if you are putting 10% down, that you can get the 10% down, whatever, however that may be.
Well, and you talk about distance. We've had Terry from Tree Run Wild. His residence to his land is 3 hours. There is a YouTube channel that we watch, Joe and Zach Survival, from their residence, based on which home that he is staying the night. It's between 2 or 4 hours up to their property. So this is, you know, the ideal situation is, oh, it's 40 minutes down the road. But that's not the reality. You all want to, you know, get done and then run to the property and enjoy a night or two on the weekend. But that's, to do that, you got to have some very, very deep pockets in order to afford the land that's relatively close to your residence, so you don't have that journey of two or three or four hour drive.
Right. Yeah.
Terrain. Let's talk about terrain for a minute here.
Yeah. So this is something that I think is important to bring up, because depending on where you live, what state you're in or region or whatever, you might have varying terrain. In Wisconsin,
oh, it's built in a bowl.
It's almost like a bowl. There is a lower land in the middle, more middle of the state. And while there are some terrain variances, for the most part, there's a lot of wetland. And that's how Wisconsin is.
The 40, 60, 80, $100,000 pieces of property, there's always some percentile of wetlands, and there are variations of wetlands in that. But the more expensive, the $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, $700,000 pieces of property of the same acreage, those are the highland. And it's very expensive to get all highland, at least in this state.
Now, when we say wetland, it doesn't mean that when you walk on that land, it's going to be
up to your hips,
marsh or bog. It just means that it does support wetland vegetation. If you have a rainier year, it may be a little bit mushy, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it is literal bog or marsh.
So there's topographical maps, there's DNR maps that show wetland, the realtor site shows what's flood and what's not, which is not always the most accurate, but you want to figure that out. Also, another thing that we have figured out and understood better is MFL land, management forestry land, and that in some states that doesn't exist. What is MFL land, Holly? So we can.
This is it's called the managed forestry law.
Law, okay.
So
MFL.
I don't know when this occurred, when it started, but it's probably within the last, I think, 20 years, because a lot of the pieces of land that we're looking at have been in the program for about 20 years, and they're 25 to 50 year increments of being in the program. And so what it is basically these lands are near some sort of forest and
National forest.
Uh-huh. And you enroll in the program if you have this land, or the land is enrolled in the program, and whoever owns the land pays reduced property taxes.
Significant.
Yeah, significantly reduced. But then you have a responsibility where you have to maintain the land, and you maintain the land and you think, oh, that's easy, but you actually have to hire a forester. And if you purchase the land, you and the forester.
This is in the state of Wisconsin now, so yeah. Your mileage may vary, but this is what we're going through, so be aware.
You and the forester, mostly the forester, comes up with a plan for your land,
uh-huh.
The land plan. And you do have to hire the forester. That's out-of-pocket cost to you. From what we understand, it's not a terribly high fee. But you have 1 year from the time of purchasing the land to get this plan completed.
Now, the plan, the MFL is either open or closed, and that means two totally different things as well.
Right. So let's talk about the MFL first.
Okay.
Let's talk about open or closed.
All right.
So once you have your forestry plan, probably about every 10 to 15 years, you do have to have lumber milling
logging
company come out, and then they would chop down some trees.
Strategic
trees.
It's not a cut dry like you see, you know, for what do you call it?
Yeah.
They just
clear cut.
They don't do that.
No, strategically cut down the older timber.
And you get paid for this.
But yeah, kind of. So they come in, they cut down the timber, and then they would plant more trees or whatever they need to do. Then they take it to the sawmill or the paper mill, whatever, sell it, and then they get a cut, mm-hmm. and you get a cut.
So you do get a little bit off of this. And in that program, you are allowed to do whatever you want on the property up to 8% of the acreage. So let's say 48.
That's 20%. Maybe no, it's 8%.
8%. Okay. So let's say for 40 acres, 8% of 40 acres is, or 8. What is it? Yeah.
I don't know. My brain can't math right now.
8 acres off of 40 acres is, we're looking at 40 acre blocks because I know agriculturally that's a quarter by a quarter. If you walked the perimeter, that would be 1 square mile. So you're allowed to do, on a 40 acres, you're allowed to do whatever you want to 8 acres without any cause of penalty through the DNR. That is a lot of acreage to do whatever you want. That's the equivalent of like 74 basketball courts. So that's a lot of trees and a lot of stuff you can do and not have any issue. So there is that. And now let's talk about the open and closed aspect of this program.
Yeah,
I guess is the best way to go about this.
There's open MFL land and there's closed MFL land. So MFL land that is closed means that you can put up no trespassing signs. If somebody is, for whatever reason, they wander off the forest boundary and they know it's public land.
Because that's what MFL land is.
It is public land. And so when it's open, it means that they could come and hunt on your land. They could cross country ski through it. They could hike through it. If it's closed, then they cannot do that.
But if it's closed, you still have the tax deductions or reduction in it, but you still have to do the requirements of having a forester come in and manage the land. But you're just – it's your land, but you're just – at that point when it's closed, you pay a fee, and it prevents other people from coming on and doing whatever they want, hunting, fishing, hiking, skiing.
Right. So – yeah, so once you buy the land, you can have it closed, or I guess you could have it open.
Leave it open or open up.
Yeah.
And that's on a calendar basis.
I don't think anybody buys closed land and lets it open up.
You don't know. Yeah, right. But that's on a calendar basis in Wisconsin. If you buy in the summer, it's still open and people can still have access to it until the end of the calendar year. But we don't know how realistic that is, that they see a camp set up and they see activity, if they're going to go, we're going to hunt there anyway. I don't know. And there's hundreds and thousands of acres, too.
That's the thing, is that it's kind of gray area, I think. But if I was hiking a state forest or a national forest, I would stay on trail.
Mm-hmm.
If I saw no trespassing sign, I would go the other way because I don't want to take a chance that you don't know what that person has on their property.
And before we get out of this segment, let's talk about plot numbers, parcel numbers. Because just because the little dot on the realtor site says this is the property, that doesn't mean it's the property. You've got to go off the parcel number that is typically listed either in photograph or in documentation on the realtor site. And then you go to the state plot or parcel website and punch that in, and then to verify that those two match up. And about 80 to 90% of the maps that are on the realtor site, the parcel number does not match up with the dot on the screen. It's either the adjacent one or it's down the road a couple of miles. And we found that out. We'll tell the story because our realtor knew what we had done. We were looking at a piece of property. We drove 3.5 hours to look at a piece of property. Looked at every map possible, the parcel map, or the DNR map, the realtor map, Google Earth, the whole thing. Liked what we saw, went up and looked at it. The numbers were right, but the property was the wrong property. We had gave the right parcel number, mm-hmm. but it was the adjacent property, which was basically, to a certain extent, landlocked, and it was not identified as that anywhere on the realtor. And on these realtor sites, it doesn't have to say, from what we're finding out, it doesn't have to say that it's in MFL or open or closed. That stuff you have to find out on your own. There's a lot of questions you have to ask.
Yeah, it's almost like a part-time job.
Yeah. And it was a beautiful property we trespassed on.
But for anybody in Wisconsin, the Department of Natural Resources is highly organized And they do have...
They have answers to every question you have.
Absolutely. So shout out to the DNR. You've been my homie for a long time. Uh-huh. So, yeah.
So if you got any questions about buying land or what you should do, or we're not realtors and we're not giving realtor advice, we can only share with you our experiences, but we will help you out in however means.
Let us make the mistakes for you.
Yes.
Hopefully not many more mistakes.
Yeah. TWVGshow@gmail.com. You can reach out to us and we will help you with your question.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.